Ta.
Thereafter.
Ayajata.
Ayajata.
He worshipped.
He worshipped.
Yajna Isham.
Yajna Isham.
The master of sacrifices.
The master of sacrifices.
By sacrificial ceremonies.
By sacrificial ceremonies.
Guri.
Guri.
Grave.
Grave.
Dakshinaihi.
Dakshinaihi.
By charities.
Dravya Kriya,
Devatanam,
of
sacrifices, including various paraphernalia, activities, and demigods.
Karma,
the objective.
Karma pala,
karma pala,
the result of activities.
Result of activities.
Pradam,
pradam,
who awards.
Who awards.
As long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices. In order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices, and who rewards the resultant benedictions. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Yagyartat karmanon yatra loko yam karmabandhanaihi, karmabandhana. One should act or work only in order to please the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. According to the four divisions of Varna and Ashram, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are especially advised to perform great ceremonial sacrifices and to distribute their accumulated money very liberally. Dhruva Maharaj, as a king and ideal Kshatriya, performed many such sacrifices, giving very liberally in charity. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are supposed to earn their money and accumulate great riches. Sometimes they do it by acting sinfully. Kshatriyas are meant to rule over a country. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in the course of ruling, had to fight and kill many yakshas. Such action is necessary for kshatriyas. A kshatriya should not be a coward, and he should not be nonviolent. To rule over the country, he has to act violently. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are therefore especially advised to give in charity at least 50% of their accumulated wealth. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that even though one enters the renounced order of life, he still cannot give up the performance of yajna, dana, and tapasya. They are never to be given up. Tapasya is meant for the renounced order of life. Those who are retired from worldly activities should perform tapasya, penances, and austerities. Those who are in the material world, kshatriyas and vaishyas, must give charity. Brahmacharis, in the beginning of their lives, should perform different kinds of yogas. Om agamati mirantasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurn minitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shriyam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapagantikam Yagyadana Tapas Chaiva Pavanani Manishinam. In the Bhagavad Gita it said that one should not give up charity or yajna, sacrifice, or tapasya. Renunciation doesn't mean renouncing tapasya or renouncing sacrifice or charity. These things are purifying, even for the great souls. So they should be done, and especially the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are the ones who are making big money. Brahmins are supposed to be poor by nature, or just accepting what comes of its own accord. The Kshatriyas, the Shudras aren't supposed to be paid, they should just get their necessities. So that means that accumulation of wealth is done by the Vaishyas and Kshatriyas. But as Srila Prabhupada mentions, sometimes they do it sinfully. One of my godbrothers, who's sort of an expert in business, summarized business in three words. Business means cheating. That was his take, at least. Business means cheating. So often in business or in politics, cheating is going on. Or in one way or another, something sinful is going on. And therefore, one has to purify one's existence by charity and by austerity and sacrifice. Dhruva Maharaj, as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. A king is not meant simply to realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with the taxes accumulated from the citizens. Yeah. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. At the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone's busy trying to keep his post or trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens, whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices, as enjoined in the Vedic literature. At the present moment, however, all forms of sacrifice are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that people should perform Sankirtan, Yajna. Any householder, regardless of his position, can perform this Sankirtan Yajna without expenditure. All the family members can sit down together and simply clap their hands and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Somehow or other, everyone can manage to perform such a yajna and distribute prasad to the people in general. That is quite sufficient for the age of this age of Kali. Monarchy is bad because the kings take everything from the citizens for sense gratification. But democracy is also bad because the politicians take everything from the people for sense gratification. The game is just played a different way, but it's the same game. Take, 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 take. In the Vedic monarchy, the kings would take, but it was their responsibility to give also. So they would take taxes from the citizens, but distribute lavishly, practically empty the treasury to benefit the citizens. The business of the king is not to live luxuriously at the expense of others, but it's to engage others in
charity, penance, austerity, and sacrifice.
The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra at every moment, as much as possible, both inside and outside of the temples, and as far as possible, distribute prasad. This process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators and those who are producing the country's wealth. Simply by liberal distribution of prasad and sankirtan, the whole world can become peaceful and prosperous. It's nice to have some monks chanting Hare Krishna and distributing prasad, but things really get going when the wealthy people and the political heads get behind such a program. Then you can do a lot. Then it can really take off. So Prabhupada's encouraging such people here that they should get behind the Sankirtan movement and use their illicitly earned wealth to distribute prasadam and distribute the holy name of Krishna. Otherwise, even without them, we'll go on. But it can benefit the givers and the general public when charity is given for Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness. Generally, in all the material sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, there are offerings to the demigods. This demigod worship is especially meant for the less intelligent people. Antavatu palamtesham te pavityopamedasam. Actually, the result of such sacrifice goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam, he is actually the enjoyer of all sacrifices. His name, therefore, is Yajna Purusha. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee and had nothing to do with these sacrifices, to set as an example to his people, he performed many sacrifices and gave all his wealth in charity. For as long as he lived as a householder, he never spent a farthing for his sense gratification. In this verse, the word karma phala pradam is very significant. The Lord awards everyone different kinds of karma as the individual living entities desire. He is the super soul present within the heart of everyone, and he is so kind and liberal that he gives everyone full facilities to perform whatever acts one wants. Then the result of action is also enjoyed by the living entity. If anyone wants to enjoy or lord it over material nature, the Lord gives him full facilities. But he becomes entangled. One becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. Similarly, if anyone wants to engage himself fully in devotional service, the Lord gives full facilities, and the devotee enjoys the results. The Lord is therefore known as Karma Phala Prada. Yeah. Any questions?
Prabhupada in the purport was saying that the duty of the of each of the ashrams are, right? And then at the end, he mentioned that brahmacharis, in their opinions, they just should do yogas.
No, he didn't say yoga, yagya.
Yagya. Can you explain that a little bit?
Traditionally, the brahmacharis would assist the spiritual master in the performance of yagyas. Varashama charvata purushena parapuma vishnuva rajyate panta nanyata toshakaram. The yoga is all meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu, and the brahmacharis would perform such yogyas, assist in performing such yogyas.
Sankirtan Yajna. Previously, the brahmacharis also used to perform Sankirtan Yajna.
I was curious about, you mentioned the shudra should just be paid the bare necessities.
What happens when you give a shudra money?
He misuses it.
Yeah, he spends it for intoxication, spends it on the lottery. This lottery is a fraud because it's done in the name of public education or upliftment of the poor. But the only people who buy lottery tickets are poor people, because no person who's educated and intelligent, knowing the odds, would waste his money on a lottery ticket. So the same people that are supposedly benefited actually have their money taken by the lottery, in which so much is siphoned off.
So it's taking their money. The gambling principle erodes the principle of truth.
Say it again? Yeah, it erodes truth.
The last leg of the bull in Kali Yuga is truthfulness. Mm. And when you go out collecting donations, if you go to a place where there's gambling, you realize that the people have no faith in anyone else's character. They believe that there's no truth. Because gambling is based on, you know, give a little but get a lot. And it's really interesting to see how destroyed their consciousness is by that seemingly innocent thing of the lottery. Or I don't know, if you go in any of these stores, the people come in and they say, I want the fast 10 and I want the scratch 2 and I want the $10 special and I want the $2. And they buy like 7, 8, 10 lottery tickets at a time while you're waiting in line. It's really amazing how they become addicted to gambling.
Yeah, and the odds are ridiculous.
I guess where I was going with that was that we see very intelligent people now who accept paychecks, and because they accept paychecks,
they're
shudras. But
and therefore they, exactly as stated, they spend their money for needless necessities. You get, previously the rich men were the responsible kshatriyas, or the Vaishyas, who were really contributing something, they would get money. And of course, they would get some higher standard of enjoyment, but they would spend it, as indicated here, for public benefit. The Shudras, they just build a bigger house, they build, you know, they get more gadgets, they spend it for gambling.
So their apparent intelligence isn't actually.
No, a person who's programming computers for a paycheck is a shudra. Although he's recruited typically from the Brahmin families, they recruit so many guys to write computer code, but they're shudras because they're just employees. They're not Brahmins. Brahmin means he uses intelligence for spiritual realization, for higher purposes. When you're just using it to write code so that a company can make money, you're a shudra.
Can I ask something else? In the Vedic culture, was it different in the sense that people, like nowadays we have dancers and singers who are very much looked up to in society? Everyone would love to be, you know, in the spotlight and you know, some big personality. In previous times, those people also were shudras. They weren't looked up to as...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dancers and singers. Yeah, they're guys who get up and do a shtick to please the public. You know, they get up and tell some jokes, or they get up and play some music, or they get up and do a dance so that people will, you know, applaud and fork out some money. So they're shudras. That's what a shudra does. And back in the old days, it was understood these people are shudras, and that's what they do, and it's appreciated. Now it's like they're arbiters of public opinion. They're people to be idolized and followed. And what are they? They're the low class people.
Is it included in the category shudra that they're respectful and assistant to the Brahminical people and the other orders? But these people are actually lower than shudras because they have no respect or relationship to other orders, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, good Shudra is hard to find. Shudra is a valuable member of human society. We're not against Shudras. You need legs in your body also. But people don't function even as Shudras. As you said, they're less than Shudras.
Mm-hmm. In the Bhagavatam, it says that in the age of Kali, the Asuras become more sophisticated.
Yeah.
And I think about it in terms of politicians who are taking advantage of the people who are getting their money by illicit means or...
Oh, yeah. Politicians are sophisticated crooks. You know, just like in some of the countries I'm in South Africa, there are these guys who do stuff like just carjacking. You know, they just, well, the sophisticated version is that you bump into the car, or a car bumps into you from behind, and then you get out to see what's going on, and then you're ambushed, and they take your stuff. So that's a typical carjacking scenario, where you enter your driveway and somebody drives in behind you and robs your house. That's ordinary crime. The sophisticated level is the guys at the top who are just like boldly scooping up cash from the public coffers. And in the African countries, you see it because it's so out there, you know, it's hardly disguised. And in the more sophisticated democracies, you don't see it quite as quickly because they have accountants and so on who hide these things. How much is actually going this way, this way, this way, and this way, and into my friend's pocket. Yeah.
So it seems like so many people are at the mercy of these. There's the common man is at the mercy of these very sophisticated thieves, essentially. Mm-hmm. Do we just sit that it's karma? Do we live with it that this is somebody's karma and that we're acting it out? Or how do we, what's the...
Well, we spread knowledge. That's our job. I mean, mm-hmm. If we were Kshatriyas, we'd go out there with Tommy guns and probably, you know, decimate the ranks of political leadership. But we're gentle, peace-loving people. No threat to public law and order. And all we do is distribute these books by which people will see exactly what kind of leaders they have. And then they may want to go out with Tommy guns and so on. Or in one way or another, request a change of government. And not just a change of government from Tweedledee to Tweedledum, but insist on people who are genuinely God conscious. Something else?
Mm-hmm. Marshall, what is the situation of devotees who physically problems?
But their occupation is Shudra. If they're out there earning a living by, that means their occupation is Shudra, but they're Vaishnavas. Vaishnava is transcendental to all of these things. But occupationally, Shudras. And of course, it's all dressed up in Kali Yuga. You know, a person is like an airplane pilot, you know, which is very sophisticated. But what is it? He's a glorified rickshaw wala. Yeah, Shudra is also an honorable occupation. Shudra is also an honorable occupation. But they should have decent Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas to assist. Now they're just, everything is topsy-turvy. So as you were saying, Shudra is taken as like a leader of society. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. But Shudras who serve are very good, very, very valuable members of society.
Vidura was,
by family, he was mixed. His mother was a Shudrani, and his father was a Brahmin. So he's considered not a Kshatriya, but his, by qualification, he was a Brahmin.
I guess the difficulty I was having the question I was asking before about in Vedic times, you know, a dancer or a singer not being glorified but being seen in their proper position. It just seems like these are skills, and when someone is very skilled, it makes them very attractive. And we hear about even Arjuna or Krishna in their training, they learned dancing and singing. They were very expert at these things. It's not necessarily that they did it for attraction.
You know, like you see these guys, we were hearing about them yesterday, the guys who come into the subway, you've seen them, and they dance on the ceiling and they do all of that kind of stuff. And it's like super impressive, and I couldn't do that. It requires great expertise. But what kind of occupation is it? It's Shudra. You're just trying to entertain people, and then you stick your hand out and say, come on, fork something over. Expertise doesn't mean that one is in the higher stage. You call a guy to fix the electrical line, you call a Shudra. He's not a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin. He's a Shudra. But, you know, if you can find a good guy to do that, he's valuable.
Then why are people like Arjuna trained up in dancing and singing if it's not such an expertise?
Arjuna?
Yeah, Arjuna was a very expert dancer.
Gotcha.
There's that pastime where he was cursed by his dance teacher because she wanted to.
Well, that's what she was. She was his dancing teacher.
And then he had to become a woman, which came in handy when the Pandavas were in disguise.
Yeah, but
it
was
still
useful.
The point being that he learned dance, and Krishna also, I think, is one of the six.
Yeah, that dancing is not professional dancing. That's not to get up in front of a crowd and people go. That's for the pleasure of the deity or in personal affairs. It's not, you know, public performance dancing. Just like singing. Singing is, you know, everybody sings. Brahmins sing, Kshatriyas sing, Vaishyas sing, and Shudras sing. But the Shudras sing so that they get, so that you pay them and they'll, or, you know, give them something so that they maintain their livelihood. When a Kshatriya is singing, he's not singing to maintain his livelihood.
So the difference is the audience.
When you're doing it to please an audience and get paid, that's Shudra. Mm-hmm.
Someone like Kulavecha Sridhar and Chaitanya Lila, externally seemed he was just had a very humble occupation.
Yeah.
Great devotees, right?
Yeah.
So our criteria is
how someone's engaged in the service of Krishna.
Yeah.
That's the real part. Stop we here? Tell me what to do.
7:30.
Okay, 7:35. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai.